something.
If you're going to
find a needle in the haystack, you need to cover yourself in as much hay as possible and keep cutting more hay. What's 70 million calls in France, plus 60 million calls in Spain, plus 35 heads of state, dozens of journalists, one jihad Jane, and 90% of British internet traffic? Who cares? You're spying on everyone, remember? And what's another number you don't need to know? 35%. The rest of NSA's spying is about the economy, diplomats, drug traffickers, oil, and politics. But thanks to Matt, with some help from words, 90% of 10.8 billion is perceived to be 100% about terrorism. Speaking of words, with a little NSA spy kit, you can make your own code names for your latest spy program.
Everybody, hey, this is Furious George here, signing in, WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, 103.5. Right there in the background, some Lou Kid, but some good stuff happening right now, though, spontaneously. We've got Moon Hooch here. James is representing for Brooklyn.
Pleasure to be here.
Welcome. Just walking around. It sounded so good, we had to bring him to the studio. So everyone out there, stick around. If you're far away, all the way, and who knows where land, you could be signing into Furious George through FuriousG.blogspot.com. Or also, you can check out Furious G online at FuriousG.blogspot.com or WCOMLP, Chapel Carrboro, WCOMFM.org. Stick around. I got more of this good stuff. I'm furious.
Just pick one word from a list of a million strong, assertive words.
First his wife, then he.
Tragic.
Tell me something. Why was his wife buried in the ground and he sealed in a crypt?
Tradition, a superstition of some sort.
Oh.
Well, it's getting dark. Let's be in our way.
There.
then as two of his mourners left his final resting place.
Thank you.
Minutes later, the police, led by Inspector Daniel Clay, arrived at the scene.
Who found them?
The man and girl.
Medical examiner been around yet?
Just left. The morgue wagon ought to be along most any time.
Busied themselves about their various concerns. They were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds, as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes.
Came the great disillusionment. Near the end of October, business was better. War scare was over. More men were back at work. Sales were picking up. On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosley Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radios.
Reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern states, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds of light gale force. Maximum temperature 66, minimum 48. This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau.
interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity.
Property. In Portland, Maine, it will be legal to possess up to 2.5 ounces.
Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of Ramon Rockello, playing for you. On this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Rockello and his orchestra.
And bad poetry.
That's nitpicking, isn't it?
Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Phillips speaking to you from the observatory at Princeton. Standing in a large semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong strip.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world-famous astronomer Professor Pearson. One moment, please. Professor Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall read you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum, New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division. Unquote. Professor Pearson, does this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Phillips. Probably a meteorite on a neutral planet at a particular time. It's merely a coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits.
Thank you, Professor. Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips. We are returning you now to our New York City.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News, Toronto, Canada. Professor Morse of Macmillan University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours of 7:45 p.m. and 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
Did you feed us tales of deceit? Unseal our tongues, who need to speak?
Now, nearer home, comes a special bulletin from Trenton, New Jersey. It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey. 22 miles from Trenton, the flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard as far north as Elizabeth. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene.
buried in a fast ship. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor. At least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. The curious spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please? While the police are pushing the crowd back. Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that dropped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmot.
Well, I was listening to the radio.
Closer and louder, please.
Pardon me?
Louder, please, closer.
Yes. I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsing. That professor fellow was talking about Mars, so I was half chosen and half...
Yes, yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio... Kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Willett. And then you saw something.
Well, not first off. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Wilmot?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank you very much.
Yes, you want me to
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm where this thing has fallen. I wish I could convey the atmosphere, the background of this fantastic scene. Hundreds of cars are parked in the field in back of it, and the police are trying to rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Car's headlights throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the object's half buried. Now, some of the more daring souls now are venturing near the edge. The silhouettes stand out against the metal sheen. One man wants to touch the thing. He's having an argument with a policeman. Now, the policeman wins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I haven't mentioned in all this excitement, but it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Do you hear it? It's a curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object. I'll move the microphone nearer. Here. Now, we're not more than 25 feet away. Can you hear it now? Professor Pearson.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us the meaning of that scraping noise inside the thing?
Possibly the unequal cooling of the surface.
I say, do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
The metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial. Atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth and see, it's cylindrical shape.
Something's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is terrific. This end of the thing is beginning to flake off. The top is beginning to rotate like a screw, and the thing must be hollow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Someone's crawling
someone out.
Something I can see peering out of that black hole through luminous discs. For the eyes, it might be a face. Might be almost
over here.
Of heaven. Something wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one and another one and another one. They look like tentacles to me. Oh, yeah, I can see the thing's body. Now it's large. It's large as a bear. It's crisp like wet leather, but that face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. In the mouth is a kind of V-shape with saliva dripping from its rimless lips that seem to almost quiver and pulsate, and the monster or whatever it is can hardly move. It seems weighed down by possibly gravity or something. The thing's rising up now, and the cloud falls back. It seems plenty. It's not very experienced, ladies and gentlemen. I can't find words. And, well, I'll pull this microphone with me as I talk. I'll have to stop the description until I can take a new position. Hold on, will you, please? I'll be right back in a minute.
The location of the country's latest mass shooting is revealed. Obama meets with America's schizophrenic voices to urge less bloodshed, and desperate Americans everywhere just try to get on board with senseless violence. This is the Onion.
We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. The more state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain
sliding over and moving on down found that over the course of their lifetimes, most Americans ultimately scoot several times the length of the English Channel, the coastline of Uruguay, or the length of the Tigris River.
Between the various types of communal seating, the typical American scoots nearly 1 mile each month. And if you count instances of scooting over, seeing the other person has already found a place, and then scooting back, many Americans travel much farther by scooting than they do by motor vehicle.
Bonding with them. While he was repeatedly demeaned and physically tormented by his male co-workers.
Referring to someone, can't quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I can see it now. It's a white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truce. Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening. Some shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from that mirror, and it leaps right at the advancing men.
This is the type of fountain you're allowed to run around in.
Lord, they're turning into flames. Ah! The whole field's by the woods of fires. The gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. We have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking at a dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude.
Just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. Just one moment, please. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill, their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey.
I have been requested by the governor of New Jersey to place the counties of Mercer and Middlesex as far west as Princeton and east to Jamesburg under martial law. No one will be permitted to enter this area except by special pass issued by state or military authority. Companies of state militia are proceeding from Trenton to Grover's Mill and will aid in the evacuation of homes within the range of military operations.
Just been listening to General Montgomery Smith, commanding the state militia at Trenton. In the meantime, further details of the catastrophe at Grover's Mill are coming in. The strange creatures, after unleashing their deadly assault, crawled back in their pit and made no attempt to prevent the efforts of the firemen to recover the bodies and extinguish the fire. The combined fire departments of Mercer County are fighting the flames which menace the entire countryside. We have been unable to establish any contact with our mobile unit at Grover's Mill, but we hope to be able to return you there at the earliest possible moment.
Hey everybody, hey, this is Furious George, Thursday night, around 11 o'clock-ish, 103.5 FM, low power FM radio, here on the most kickin'est community-based radio station in town, rocking it, extremely local. In fact, we got people crawling in the windows behind me, and we also had, speaking of crawling in windows, this jazz musician was playing, James from, Moon Hooch, I think is the name of the band. Brooklyn swung by, happened to be rocking it out, so we brought him in. And also, you know, just other good stuff happening. Folks listening to the radio around town, popped into TJ's tonight and they were cranking it. Other folks doing what they do to support Michael Power Radio. Do what you do. What do you do? More than just listen? Go to WCOMFM.org. Can help us out. Sign up, be a DJ. That's my favorite way to recommend support. But we also, you know, we can take any support the way, any way you can give it. My favorite way, of course, is listening. So keep doing that. Also, check out furiousg.blogspot.com where you can hear all my old shows. Having fun here. We're going to take into the next hour some craziness. This is some daytime naps mixtape. And we've also been playing a lot of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. A lot of Low End Theory, number one. And also to kind of compliment our friend James with Moon Hooch, who blessed us with some awesome jazz music. We were playing a lot of Flying Lotus, who's very much connected to the old school jazz scene, including his aunt, who was John Coltrane's wife, Alice Coltrane. So it's nice to have that rocking out. I'm Furious. I do this every Thursday. We have fun here with some kind of theme or another. Tonight, we just happen to have gone with the flow of things, which is really nice. In fact, the radio itself here these days has been kicking as much as possible. We've been paying the bills, getting our paperwork in. Got this crazy cool new studio in the Art Center. Looking down on crazy Carrboro. So, for everybody who helped make that happen, thanks out there. For real. I'm Furious. Stick around. We're going to have some more fun. It's Michael Power, community-based radio. Stick around.
Like no one can hide from free radical damage.
Not at all.
And the
business. You'll upgrade your performance and lower your cost.
Let me take you to just one moment, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have just been informed that we have finally established communication with an eyewitness of the tragedy. Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near Grover's Mill, where he has established an emergency observation post. As a scientist, he will give you his explanation of the calamity. The next voice you hear will be that of Professor Pearson, brought to you by direct wire. Professor Pearson.
Estimated 28 MPG highway.
You telling the same kid that got to go home and watch TV, and all this is sex, violence, drugs on TV. All they show you is about balling on TV. Hip hop is at a state of.
We'll be right back.
Robertsville. I can give you no authoritative information either to their nature, their origin, or their purposes here on Earth. Of their destructive instrument, I might venture some conjectural explanation. For want of a better term, I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as a heat ray. It's all too evident that these creatures have scientific knowledge far in advance of our own.